that's when I was contracting with all, because Newman and all that and Tom Price, they used to have quite long disputes and that, and Cliffs Panamonica just had a name for not being a striking town, you know. They used to, that was probably because the management was so lenient. But and then when the strike happened, the media sort of pressed about how much strikes was going on up here, and sort of Panamonica was the only town that it never used to happen at. And that was sort of another thing that used to piss people off about it.
And what were you doing when you were contracting? What were you contracting as?
I'm a linesman. I've got a linesman's ticket, building power lines.
And you were working for a contract?
For a contract,
no,
yeah.
You weren't contracting?
Not on myself, no.
You were a wages man, were you?
Yeah.
Hmm? Tell you what, they've had great success down at Dampier. You know, they didn't think that contractors would have been, you know, drivers would have been willing to play.
Mm, well, anyone else. Because the crane drivers have to be ticketed, you know, it's a sort of a skilled job.
Yeah.
But anyone else, if they never had to have a ticket, any other contractor wouldn't hesitate, I'd say. But it's because they're ticketed and they have to be in that union to get that ticket, and then they've got it covered. But
yeah, so if it's an unskilled job,
you
have very little control over.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, what about things like linesmen? Do you have to have it?
You have to have a ticket for that.
Yes,
yeah.
I see. That's a present. Thank you very much. It's nice. Yeah, it's I was most impressed. I was very surprised. I thought, because after all, you know, well, I suppose it's really nothing to those blokes because they're still being paid regular pay by Brambles while
that's
that happens.
Right, yeah, yeah.
They're not sitting out there losing money, are
it's
they?
It's the company that's Brambles that'll be losing money.
And did your boss, who did you work for? Who was the contractor?
Powerline Constructions in Port Hedland.
And do they sort of contract all over Australia, or do they?
No, mostly just West Australia. Well, he's moved down to South West now, and he's still got his yard in Hedland, and he's only a small businessman.
And if he sort of got a job up here again, he'd just recruit more people.
You know, it's a contract.
The construction industry must be a very difficult one to work in then. I mean, you'd be constantly in and out of work.
Yeah, that's the hassle about it. You can't sort of get continuous contracts. If you get continuous work all the time, you'll be all right. But no, there's that many people doing it now, undercutting your quotes and all that. It's really hard.
Yeah. You'd rather do this than contract.
Well, I just got sick of 2.5 years, 7 days a week, 12, 16 hours a day, and I never saw Wendy at all. She was working in Hedland, living in the caravan. And,
oh, I see. So when you're contracting, you'd be working every
always
day of the
week. Yeah, working away all the time.
They reckon that the crane drivers at the barracks say they're getting very poor pay on this second stage.
Really?
Well, because of the highway, it's cost you $250 to live in a caravan.
That's right, the cost of living.
And you don't take the picture. They were saying, I was talking to this girl, what's her name, Angie. She's a lady dogger. She's dogging on the biggest crane in Australia.
Yeah,
yeah, she's great. But she can do everything. She got a crane driver's ticket, and she's doing her riggers training, and she's in love with this bloody crane. She just talks about the crane the whole time. But she was saying the pay's not good, and there's not a lot of overtime, and there's nothing like on the first stage. Living actually at the borough,
village.
But the ones who are living, they pay $6 a week rent. But the ones who are living in the caravan park, it's just gone up, I think it's $75 a week for the site rent. And we're taking gas and electricity, it's $250.
For a caravan.
That's right, just for one caravan. Carafa, there's only about, I'd say, 50 caravan sites. Well, it actually was 115.
Yeah.
So there's probably 120 or 130
sites.
I don't know how you get
Well, yeah, they said they're going to open another one up out there.
Yeah, but that'll be Fleetwoods.
Hey, there's no accommodation here.
That'll be Fleetwoods, and that's the ones that where they're charging $250 a week. Okay.
A few years ago, there used to be only one caravan park in Karratha.
Yeah,
that was in the LIA.
I said to Pam Buckley that it'd work to the boss's advantage, wouldn't it? The fact that the workforce is continually changing, that you've got to...
I suppose it wouldn't, really, yeah. All the people with the old ideas are gone.
Yeah. On the other hand, surely it would work to their disadvantage to have them always changing. It seems to me that there's a...
Yeah,
be training them all the time.
That's right, yeah, all the retraining and that.
Yeah, I think they'd rather have everyone, the old ways gone.
And go to the trouble of retraining the new ones.
Yes. Well, that's what's happening now. Like, I'm trained out on all the plant out the mine.
Yeah.
But I spend a great deal of time driving haul packs. And they're training up new people all the time. The people, more so the new ones that are more yes sir, no sir. You know, those sort of boys.
If I was an employer, I'd prefer a guy that's been on that machine, he's competent. I'd prefer to have him stay on that machine rather than train a new bloke up, because a new bloke's going to take X amount of time to get the feel of the machine and, you know...
And plus the mine in general.
That's right, yeah.
The whole place.
The running of the whole shift and everything.
They know what's going on. Yeah. They know the flow of the place.
Yeah.
Perhaps... What are you thinking of that their talk? They say now that they're making an enormous... much more profit than they were before when cliffs were there. But I wonder if... Yeah. But I was wondering about... Someone else said, I think, I forget who it was a shovel driver, that they're in fact not maintaining the shovels and they're not spending money
that's
on
right,
maintenance.
Yeah, that's
is that noticeable?
Yeah, for sure.
All the plant, trucks, plant, some of them just about falling apart.
I used to do 48-hour checks on haul packs. Like every 48 hours they'd come in and the electricians would go over them and then the fitters would go over them and they'd go out again. Well, they're abolishing that now. And what's happened is they're getting away with it now, short term, but long term they're going to be up for X amount of dollars when all the machinery starts breaking down, you know, majors and all
that. I wonder if their idea might be to get in contractors then.
I think that's what their main aim is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Somebody said that.
Up, the fitters up on Shovel 6. They come up here on site for 6 weeks. Yeah. And those contractors themselves, they were that disillusioned. They worked for Skilled Engineering. And they told them that they'd be up here and they'd be working 60 hours a week, heaps of overtime, plenty of money. And they come up here and they're lucky if they're doing 38 hours a week. Isolated. One guy, he was here for 6 weeks and his money was supposed to be paid in an account in Perth, and he rang up his wife and she said there's no money. He only had one payment over the 6 weeks in his bank.
They hadn't done it properly. Done the bookkeeping.
That's Skilled Engineering. You know, everybody knows they're a mob. They're another PICO, like right wing, you know. They don't
they?
Care. Well, they're not nothing not to do with PICO, but this is their attitude. It's exactly the same. They just... Yeah, I think that's what they want to do. They want to bring in contractors eventually, you know. So the onus is on the contractor to...
harder to organise. Would you, when you were working for a contractor, were you just on wages? Could you give a week's notice? Or were you, had you contracted to stay there for a certain time?
No, I was just... I could give a week's notice.
So they don't contract their workers?
No. You don't have to write a signed written contract employment.
Someone told me that they're talking about making workers sign individual contracts now with
employment contracts.
Yeah. Is that actually started?
I haven't heard of anyone as yet. But there's a guy at the mine.
Yeah.
He's an adult apprentice and he came out of his time last week and the unions had an agreement that
get the a year or something.
Company would employ the apprentice as soon as the vacancy come up. Well, that's been abolished now. If you come out of your time, you haven't got a job. You've got to negotiate to get another job. Well, this guy, he came out of his time the other day, and the company says, well, right, you know, you've got a job with the company, but you have to fill out this new employment contract. And he said, yeah, no worries, because he was happy he got the job. That's what he was worried about. And then he signed it all and he took it home and then he started reading all the fine print. And he's been here for nearly 7 years and he just lost everything. He was a new starter. Yeah, he lost like all his service pay and all that. His hourly rate dropped about $2. It was just like he was a new starter from Perth coming up here to be employed. And he just said, "Hang on a minute," and see, he got on to another guy, the general foreman, and he said, "Well, look, what's going on here?" You know? And he said, "Well, so that's in the process of getting worked out now." So that's one example.
What sort of a tradesman was he?
He's good. He's a good tradesman.
Yeah, but I mean, what is he, a fitter? Or?
Electrician, electrical fitter. No, Peter Mackay. Yeah.
Didn't he get onto the union? Or did he?
No, he hasn't seen the union about it as yet.
Yeah, sure.
We'll see. Well, the company doesn't recognise that agreement. That was agreement that was won over the 10-week strike that they had at Hammersley for all apprentices to be employed after they come out of time if there's a vacancy, which is fair enough.
Yeah. So that gives them a bit of a experience in the trade before they go looking for other jobs.
Right, yeah. So, because it's hard to get a guy just out of his time to go and get a job, and you know, the employer wants to know how much experience he's had, and you know, he'll get some of the experience over the new apprentice.
Yeah, okay.
But he rung the general foreman, and the general foreman says, "Well, I'll see what I can do." So, in other words, he's negotiating for his personal employment contract at the moment. If they didn't like him, if they didn't like you know, there's no way. They'd just say, "Sorry, there's no job." But if they think you're a competent worker and all that, well, then they'll sort of say, "Well, okay, well, you do this and do that, and we'll think about it." So, and there's another guy there who's he'll be in the same predicament in about a month's time, and there's no way that he's going to even get a job, only because he's had a bit of time off from his back and that, back problems and that. Stewie, yeah, and they don't like him, but he's scored over 90% in all his assignments since he's done it, all these exams and that, and he's top of the class, top of the Northwest, but yeah, he's really intelligent, but they haven't acknowledged him. Like they have, like every after you do your exams, you have apprentice awards and all that, and they just haven't acknowledged, you know, his which is fair enough, I suppose, because he's an adult. You know, like you should sort of let the young apprentices to get more confidence through that. They just don't care, do they? You're just a number to them, and if you do the right things, they don't worry about it. If you do anything out of the ordinary, they come down on you.
Yeah, what do you see as your future here?
All I'm doing is going to work on time, going home on time, doing my job, and shutting my mouth and picking up my money and running.
Hanging on as long as you can, yeah. Sort of thing.
It doesn't really mean much to them. They don't like you, you're still going to get friends.
That's right, yeah.
Like, that's all I do.
Yeah.
We'll try and do it. The workers do my job. But I still just stay on the trucks, you know, they don't give me an extra. It's the boys that come in smiling, though, apple for the teacher.
Yeah.
Is trucks lower paid than other jobs? I mean, say if you were driving a bulldozer, would you earn more?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realise it was. Oh, it's not just shifting around within your own classification. Right. You can apply for other jobs which are better paid, and they can transfer you to lower paid jobs, can they?
And more monotonous, you know.
Yeah.
And less overtime, like sort of a fewer track dozer operator or on a different bit of equipment. That sort of equipment gets more work, you know. Like, yeah.
What are you with in maintenance, do you?
Maintenance, yeah.
What do you maintain?
Oh, we make just all the hall packs, everything electrical, power lines, everything electrical to do with the mine.
Yeah. Oh, I see. And so is there a lot?
All the hall packs are all electric, you know, that's how they
run. What do you mean? They're electric cars?
No, they're electric motors. They haven't got diffs and axles in the back. What they got is a motor, and the motor drives a generator which generates the power, and the wheels are just big electric motors, big armature in it. So each one's a separate
motor. So they're not ordinary cars? They're not ordinary cars run on petrol?
No. Oh, they run on diesel.
The diesel.
They've got big motors in there.
You still start them up like a car.
You haven't got a cord behind you like a shovel.
No.
No, I see. I was going to say.
They haven't got a diff drivetrain or anything like that.
So there's a lot of work for electricians,
right? Electricians, yeah. And all the shovels are electric and drills are electric. And, just a fair bit. For us.
So your job hasn't changed since
No. Yeah. Well, when I started as an EA, and I did that for a couple of years, and then I transferred to a serviceman's job, which was, you service lubrication services. And when the PICO took over, every serviceman on site was sacked. That classification was no longer needed.
Was that before the lockout?
That was before the lockout, yeah. That's when they offered everyone redundancies and that. And
they gave you some extra money if you'd go, sort of thing?
Well, yeah, that
your package.
Yeah, it was a package thing, like a redundancy. You get, I think it's 6 months' pay and a couple of weeks' pay for every year's service and stuff like that. And they were trying to reduce the workforce then, and that was one of the ploys of doing it. And they sent this letter out asking everybody who was interested in redundancy to fill out a form and send it to the office. And apparently half the town put in for it, you know. and they knew then that they had half the town wanted to leave anyway. And then they just reneged on it. Put everybody's
hopes. Reneged, did they?
Oh, yeah. There was no way they were going to pay redundancy.
Not one person?
Not one person got it. There's a couple of people that have been here before that did leave. And they took it and they got paid. It was under Cliff, so.
It was a good package too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Well, do you think the idea was just to sort of test the water and see how many wanted to go?
It was just a big carrot dangling in front of everybody.
Do you think they ever intended to pay?
No way. No, not at all. I sort of thought, yeah, maybe, but since then, no way, they just said.
I thought some people, I didn't realise that, I thought they just let some become redundant, they didn't.
Mm.
So they offered redundancy.
Well, what they did was they sent this letter saying all these positions, I think there was about 30 here and about 50 at the Cape, were going to be just totally wiped out. And they offered it to them people. And then there was so much talk back about feedback from it that they offered it to across the board. And that's when they got half the town applied for it. And they knew then all that.
Did you apply for it?
Well, I did because my position as a serviceman was going to be scrapped.
Well, why did they want to get rid of servicemen?
Well, I don't know.
There wasn't that they didn't need them anymore.
That's right. Well, what they were saying was the servicemen will no longer do this job. The workload that we were doing was going on to the fitters. The fitters had to do what our servicemen were doing. So the fitters had a heavier workload to do. And they're supposed to be doing that now. But now they're not even doing the services, you know. It's amazed me why the machinery's still running at the moment. It's all going to come to a head once sooner or later.
I wonder, of course it's very hard to know what percentage of money they're saving because of that. Because of not doing the services.
Right, yeah.
Because it could almost be entirely responsible for the increase in profit, couldn't it? I mean, if you...
It's probably, yeah. And all the little things like that have cut back, you know, I suppose you add them all up and there's big mobs of profit there.
Yeah. So it may be that they won't be able to go on doing that forever.
No.
They'll either have to start servicing
the
machinery or buying new machinery, which will lower their profit.
I think it's just a big ploy to keep their shareholders happy, you know. It's just... And the shareholders look at the reports, making X amount of profits here. Oh, good on them, you know. They're doing
the right
thing.
Yeah, also it's a very, very... she's gone to sleep. It's very good publicity, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
No. And also it's encouraging the other companies to do the same, isn't it?
Mm, that's right.
Creating
especially when they see it working in the, you know, public's eye.
Yeah.
They don't really know the true... It's not the true thing, you know, it's not.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see what happened if they offered houses for sale here, wouldn't it? Because sort of Tom Price, you know, obviously selling them. But, I mean, this town may have had body blows that no one would be willing to bet on the future here.
I don't think I'd even think of buying it. There's no. Not much future here, really.
No.
I mean, Tom Price is different because, well, they're building that new inland road and it's going to be sort of, this place is so isolated.
It's a bigger town, more people, a bit more sociable.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's quite a good deal, really, isn't it? It is, what they've offered them.
And it's
a real open town, you've got a lot of private business there now. And
is it basically company owned, is it?
Which?
It's Tom Price, though. It is a company
it
town.
It was a company town.
It isn't like Karratha.
No, it was just a closed company town.
Yeah.
And there was just a couple of businesses, like Silver Station and a few things. Yeah, apart from the iron ore industry, there's nothing Panawana, there's no reason Panawana should be here, you know, there's no tourist attraction, like, you got the Hammersley Gorges over there and all that.
That's where Shirley's just been, she's been over.
Mm, it's lovely up there, isn't it?
Is it near Tom Price or is it near Whitney in the Gorges?
More near
Whitney.
Yeah, Whitney. Whitney's,
yeah. That's
right.
Not very fun to drive.
No.
It's I suppose it's a question of either you find you can bear it or you can't bear it. Obviously, a lot of people have had options, or a lot of people might get tied up in you know, they desperately need the overtime to pay off, say, their house in Perth or whatever.
Right, yeah, a lot of people.
A lot of people sort of.
I suppose it's their own fault, you know, for putting themselves in that sort of position. Now you can't really guarantee overtime. You shouldn't really sort of make payments on your overtime. You should only look at your 40 hours, really. And anything above that's an extra, you know.
Bit of a temptation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Massively.
Just in the city anywhere. I don't know what percentage, but a huge percentage of people are paying off their house.
Right.
And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they're bloody stupid.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take them 50, 60 years or whatever, you know, till they're 50 or 60 when it's paid off.
Sure.
And that means you've got to work in that same bloody job all the time. Yeah.
But there's not that much overtime in the cities now. I mean, there's not what you'd call consistency. People up here seem to really rely on overtime. Well, they do.
You come up here for money, that's why.
Yeah, that's right. Dave Armstrong said, you either come up here for the money or you come up here for your career. Like teacher or doctor or something, or union official. And he said, you come up here to further your career. And he said, interesting to talk to Karratha than here, or perhaps just that I've been around Karratha more because there's a more variety of jobs than that in Karratha. But he said, you know, now their drink must cost a few bucks.
A lot of single blokes here, that's all they leave with the private fund, you know. They get their wages and they just piss it against the wall up in the pub every night, and when they leave 5 years, they got their private fund, that's all they got.
So the Provident Fund is really an insurance against spending everything. I mean, if you go in for it.
Right.
Do you have to go in for it?
Don't have to, it's optional, yeah.
The most people do, I suppose.
Yeah, most people do. When they realise what those
You'd be mad if you didn't, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Especially
when the investors invested in different things, and the guys that did a good job last year, we got about 30%. Yeah, 30%.
I wouldn't have thought that sort of money was available in investments in Australia today. Because they're mostly Australian, aren't they?
I think a certain percentage of it's invested overseas.
That's incredible, Shirley, that they get 38% on their Provident Fund investments. What the hell would you get 38%? And they're not.
They don't invest
in war or manufacturers or nuclear industry and that.
There's about $4 million in the whole fund altogether, and there's a board of investors, and they shift the money around where they see fit. You know?
They must be doing a lot on the short term.
That's what they're doing. Yeah, it's all short term.
Say short term.
See, some years, like a couple of years ago, we only got about 4%. Because they must have had a run bad luck or something. And then the year after that, it shot up to about 15.
38.
Yeah, this year, they said that they've got 41% they've got, but they won't release that. We'll probably get about 38, hopefully, this year.
They're keeping some.
Yeah.
Well,
but people that have been here for 7 or 8 years and they've got about $40,000 in the Provident Fund, you know, you 40% of that interest, you're looking at a lot of money. It's
how much do you pay in?
That depends. There's a formula they work out. It's governed by the taxation.
Age
and how long.
How much money you would make if you were the years till when you're 60, so it balances out that you're the same as someone else who's got super.
You can't put your whole paypack in.
No, they won't allow you to. Yeah.
Government stopped it.
Taxation stepped in and says, right.
And you don't get the money in your hand at the end of every year. You just get it paid into your...
You only get it if you leave.
Oh, I see.
You can only pick it up when you terminate.
Well, this apprentice who was terminated, the one you were telling me, and then offered a new apprentice a new job back, he'd have to get his Provident Fund.
He'd have to terminate, and he's been here a few years, and he's got a lot of money in there. And if he took the job they offered him, he'd have to terminate then, take all his money out, and then he'd have to start again in the Provident Fund. So.
And you don't get, and if you've been in longer, you do better out of it than yours.
Oh, well, for sure, yeah.
Yes. So in fact, that would be to his disadvantage.
For sure.
To pay in.
He's got about 40,000 in there.
Shit, as an apprentice.
He's an adult apprentice. They're at 40,000, and especially when they're paying interest like 30% to 40%, you know, if he's got to pull all that out and then start again, he's only got $10 in there, and 40% interest on $10 is...
Oh, I see. And could he put that whole 40,000 back in again if he wanted to?
No, you've got to start again.
Oh, from the beginning?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So you can't put in large sums of money.
No.
It's just going to mess him around, isn't it?
Oh, terribly, yes.
See, he said he'd be better off just snatching it, just leaving.
Taking his dad.
Go and have a holiday and then come back when he's ready.
Yeah.
You know, it's
no disadvantage.
There's no disadvantage.
It's probably to that is what they were thinking. They're holding that over you.
That's right, yeah. And he's got to sort of toe the line or else.
Some people apparently are pleased to terminate because they get their money then and they've got some purpose for it.
Well, that's another reason why I think the company wants to get rid of the old workforce, because they're sort of financially secure after you've been here for a few years. You've got that much money in the Provident Fund. Once they get rid of you, well, then they'll get someone that isn't financially secure and they've got a better hold over them.
Yes.
You know, they can manipulate them more.
I read in the paper, was it here, about this guy they gave him they had a picture of him in the paper cutting the cake because he got a 10-year, he'd been here 10 years,
yeah.
The landscape gardener or something, the next day they sacked him?
And they sacked him, yeah.
What would be the point of that? I mean...
Well, he'd been here a while and he'd sort of had a few run-ins with the company and... The people didn't really like him at all, and what happens, he got put onto town crew, and they had him sweeping the streets with a shovel and a broom every day for about 4 days. They just dropped him off and says, right, do it, and he just after about the fourth day, the foreman went to find him, couldn't find him, he just walked off, he walked home, he just had enough, and that was it. They wanted him out. So if you misbehave or anything, what you'll probably find is you'll be transferred to town crew, and then put on the street cleaning. And I mean, nobody can handle doing that for it's really demeaning. Yeah, and you got to go around the street, and eventually you'll just jack it in. You'll have enough.
And he'd be a school gardener. He'd be a person with some gardening skills?
He was operating, he was on plant and that.
Oh, I see.
And they didn't like him out plant. He's a Maori guy, he's a really big, solid Maori guy. And he's,
I often get a bit aggressive, don't I?
Yeah, and he was a bit simple, you know, he was... But, he wasn't the full quid, but he was harmless.
He was good enough for what he was doing. Yeah. I mean, he was able to do that job.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And they just decided, well, we don't need him anymore, we'll...
Do you get, what do town crew do?
They just service the town. They cut trees, do the lawn mowing around town, and generally clean up around the place.
Landscaping? Or is that the other crew?
No, landscaping's no more. They used to have a landscaping crew and then a town crew.
Mm.
Town crew used to do fencing and cementing around the place, footpaths, and clean up around the shop, and trimming all the trees. And
if you think about it, there's a massive amount of jobs that were lost from this place. this town, the jobs that were lost here, plus jobs that were servicing the place outside, like bringing up food,
right.
All the food that was coming into the place, people supplying that food.
A lot of it.
What's this since?
A lot of them.
Since when?
When Cliffs were owning it, since when Pico took over.
Oh, I see.